Okay, cut to music. Am I feeling any better today? I'm a little better. Yeah, I apologize for yesterday. I'm feeling a little better today. So anyway, I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm entreating then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, pleadings, thanksgiving be made for all mankind, for kings, and all those being in a superior station, that we may be leading a mild and quiet life in all devoutness and gravity, for this is ideal and welcome in the sight of our Savior God, who wills that all mankind be saved and come into a realization of the truth. What does mild and quiet life have to do with entreating that petitions and prayers be made for all mankind, and especially for kings and those being in a superior station? Back in Paul's day, you had some real lunatics in charge of the government. Nero on the political side, and on the religious side, of course, you had the freaks that crucified Christ. So Paul's thinking the only excuse not to lead a mild and quiet life is if you have lunatic rulers. If you pray for them, God could settle them down, and they could give you a favorable time. Now, we have favorable times here in this country. It's not that we have political and religious pressures necessarily. Nobody's knocking on our doors, pointing guns in our windows, knocking down our doors, forcing us to believe in something we don't want to. So really, Paul's saying on this account, we all should be living a mild and quiet life. We have other enemies, and those enemies are bills and taxes and obligations and pressures and time schedules. We have no margin in our lives. There's no cushion of time, no cushion of money. I guess I'm speaking for myself. You know, cushion, cushion, cushion. Cushions are famous for being soft. We don't have any of these things. So going back to now to my life in 1982, I got married, and you know, my wife, what first attracted me to my wife, I liked the way her jeans fit. But other than that, I really liked her spirit. She had a mild and quiet spirit. She was a godly woman, and I saw that was going to be a real benefit in life. I loved her, of course, but the first thing I went for was not her jeans. That was the second thing I went for. I noticed those first. I didn't go for them first. I went for a godly woman, and she was a godly woman, and she continues to be a godly woman. So we decide we're going to get married, and as I told you, some of my decisions in life are stupid, and the first stupid one was, well, why don't we have a farmhouse wedding? We'll get married at your house, right? Mild and quiet life. I'm the kind of guy that details in life really bog me down. I get, that's why I, once in a while, I do the one-hand desk clean. You ever clean your desk with a forearm? I've done it many times. Clutter drives me crazy, but I don't have the wherewithal to clean it. Once in a while I do, but sometimes it just gets to me. I take my forearm and I clean my desk in one swell foop, as they say, and it's a beautiful thing because my desk is clean. I don't look on the floor. As long as you don't look on the floor, you're all right. So anyway, I said, let's have a farmhouse wedding, and I think I probably destroyed her hopes and dreams. She probably wanted a fancy wedding. I don't know. I might have talked her into it. I don't know. I can't remember. I think she agreed. Hesitantly, maybe, but we decided that we were going to just declare ourselves married before the wedding ceremony under God. So we said, God, consider us married, and he did. That was as simple as that. We satisfied the state a few weeks later at her farmhouse, and it was not exactly her dream come true, but I just wanted to start being married. So off we went on our honeymoon. That was my next stupid decision. I said, why don't we bicycle down the east coast of Florida? So that's exactly what we did. We drove to the Jacksonville airport, parked the car there, took our bikes out of the car, and started bicycling down the east coast of Florida to Miami. That was in October of 1982. Was that a mild and quiet life? Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I think it formed a pattern of what was to become. It was a yearning. I think it demonstrated in me a yearning to do something that was different than the way the world was going. I think that's the key thing. And my wife, why I talk about a loyal wife, she's done all these crazy things with me over the years, and I'm only beginning to account for all of them now. So off we went down the east coast of Florida, and you know, it was the beginning of us getting to know each other. And you could say, well, that's a scary thing. Isn't there a better way? Well, at the time, it seemed like a good decision. I look back now, and we both look back now, and it was a good decision in that it set a pattern for us of doing different things, of breaking loose, and that was to become a valuable thing for us. So we came back, and I assumed my job at the hospital. I was an orderly back then. She got a job at a medical facility that rented, sold medical equipment, and we lived for a year in a large city, and it was not one of your stellar years as far as marriage is concerned. And my yearning for a mild and quiet life caused me to tell my bride, if we start being married here and things don't go like we think they should and we're not happy, then we're gonna do something to change it. That was always my motto in life. You can do something to change it. I believe in the absolute, but I live in the relative. You can change your situation. If things aren't going good, you've got to change it. If you're unhappy, you've got to change it. Yeah, I was depressed yesterday and a little leftover today, but I still believe that you got to find the guts. I'm speaking relatively. You pray to God, find the guts to change your situation, because a mild and quiet life is the goal. I'm going to get into more scriptures on this as the week progresses. What makes a mild and quiet life? What things are the enemies of a mild and quiet life? And what things can you do to change your course in this world, the course that is making you so disquieted, the course that is bringing you worry? Does the worry of this eon choke your life? Are you having trouble sleeping at night? Or is there any margin in your life at all? Where does God come into all this? Gonna tell you what I did then in 1984, after a year and a half of not so wedded bliss, and we're gonna get into more scriptures. Music at the end here, I don't know. I don't really care still. I don't care. Go ahead. Put in something that I haven't heard before. Okay, yeah, I haven't heard that. That'll work, I guess.